Lucy sitting on a chair saying, "Pooey, here comes Linus. What's the matter? My life is a drag and I'm completely fed up. I've never felt so low in my life." What you are in that mood like that, and you should try to think of things that you have to be thankful for. In other words, count your blessings, Linus says. Huh, that's a good one. I could count my blessings on the fingers. I never had anything, and I never will have anything. I don't get half the breaks that other people do, and nothing ever goes right for me. So, and you talk about the counting of blessings. Who do I have to be thankful for? And Linus reluctantly says, "Oh, well, you have a young brother who loves you." And here comes Lucy, hugs him. And there, from time to time, "I can say the right things," Linus mumbles. Okay, most of you were locked in the house last week because of the snow. Were you complaining? Or were you finding all the counting your blessings? Oh, well. It says what? What are you giving up? What are you giving up for this Lent? You know what? God works always so mysteriously. You know, for me, I have a good, what is it? How can I put it this? I know myself, I enjoy so much of eating. The pleasure of eating is so good for me. I decided to have serious fasting this Lent. And randomly, I put from Ash Wednesday, breakfast, lunch, dinner. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. In the calendar, because I wanted to do it. Just on Friday evening, and falls on next breakfast fasting, falls on Saturday, which means it's 24 hours. Wow. That's the time that I normally write my sermon. God is working. I was so blessed. Amen? You never know how it's going to work in your life, because I was doing it randomly and not knowing, not recognizing. I had to fast for 24 hours almost every weekend, and I write sermon. God is telling me something. It happens in your life. Like I said to the children's sermon, I wasn't meant to be to, you know, say it to you, but you never know. God's timing. God will reveal to you all of a sudden these words. Please take your time. This is a special season. We think of Jesus Christ. Why? Why would he die for anyone? For you. Amen? Some of you know that I am a lifelong Methodist. I grew up singing. This is my father's word in Sunday school. This is my father's word, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of spheres. So today's Psalm 19 is divided into two sections. The first part tells about the nature. We were complaining about the snow, but how beautiful it is. God created our nature. And proclaims the identity of God. And while verses 7 to 13 are praise to Yahweh, who gives us Torah, which is law. So it is divided into two. And you have noticed that verse 14 is always, I say, before I do the sermon, because in reverence to the Lord. I want it to be, because I have written acceptable to you. And God, the Holy Spirit, who are here present, will work through me to you. So the providence of God, I was talking about the power of God, that's providence of God, that encompasses two main motives. His provision for his creation and creatures, and his control over all events and creatures, including the guidance of them. So all of God's leading is meant to bring people to him. And his greatest provision to that end comes in the person of Jesus Christ, who offers the ultimate living picture of God's providence. Abraham called a certain mountain, "The Lord will provide," because the God provides a lamb for the burning of the burnt offering. Remember the sparing Isaac? Jesus, the Lamb of God, came to provide the final purification for sins. Power of God is in this unfailing love of Jesus Christ. The psalmist praises the God for providing redemption for his people. Jesus was the full provision of that redemption, and he's the King of Kings, the ruler over all, and then one who leads to salvation. And the culmination of the abundant providence of God. Amen. So God's providence finally is pictured in Scripture, as you know, in Philippians 4:19 says, "Glorious riches given by God to meet all human needs, and those riches are found in Christ Jesus." In terms of exegetical perspective, Reverend Mark Stenger says in his book called, not his book, it's the big, thick commentary called "Feasting on the Word," that Torah is not really law and even less a list of laws. It is a template for Exodus, living in covenant as God's free and faithful people. It is a pattern of life individually embraced and shared with the community as a guide and goal. In the first covenant, God's people are formed by the experience of Exodus and the keeping of Torah. In the new covenant, the point of departure for Christian living is the Exodus and new life experience of death and resurrection in baptism, unquote. So when it comes to law, I tend to go back to Wesley, our founder, what had to say about the law. And his focus was always has been on free grace and, you know, justification by faith. So I went back to Wesley. He mentioned on his sermon the original nature, properties, and use of the law, that the original of the law is man's inborn moral sense, not natural in the deist sense, but rather as an aspect of the residual imago Dei. Imago Dei is what? That we are created in God's image. So we are creatures of dignity because we are bearers of the grace of God. God created in his image. Can you think of it? In light of this, our reason for living becomes clear. And that we are made to be children of God, as you know. And the purpose of life on earth is, with God's help, to weave into what? Fabric of passing existence of those qualities we have, which are neither new or old, but everlasting, because they came from God to our offspring. And according to Wesley, the nature of the law is Christological. Christological meaning Christ-centered. As if Torah and Christ are in the same sense to be equated. The properties of the law are the threefold: holy, just, and good. It's according to Romans 7:12, holy, just, and good. So we may have to understand, though, that all of these laws cannot lead to right relationship with God without the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a sustainer and helper. So power of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 7 to 13 contains goodness of the law, which pairs well with both Decalogue in Exodus. Today's lectionary text from Old Testament, if you may notice, and John's account of the money changers who missed the spirit of the law altogether. You know, today's lectionary of Old Text is talking about 10 commandments, which is called Decalogue. And today's text of John's Gospel made me ponder so much, even though it was a so well-known and familiar one. Remember, God was so angry and clinging. Why was he angry? Why was questioning? Why was he angry? What was happening within Jesus' mind when he was doing? And it was around Passover season. You know what Passover is? He must have known that he is an ultimate sacrificial lamb. He was a human being. And he knew he was going to die. It is actually biblical. You know, Apostle Paul said in Corinthians 5:7 that for Christ, our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. So by linking this crucifixion of Jesus to the Passover, the New Testament writers highlight the redemptive nature of his death. And like the original Passover sacrifice, the death atones for the sin of the people. His blood purifies and cleanses, and his body sanctifies those who eat it in the Lord's Supper. That's the very important part of our ritual, isn't it? And he made it possible for us to go to God. Remember, the curtain was divided into two. We were able to go because of his death. Amen? Wow, isn't it? To participate in the sacrificial life and death of Jesus Christ is to live already in his kingdom. So this is the essence of the Christian message, the heart of the good news, and is why the cross has become the chief Christian symbol. We are already having our one foot. People say, you know, you put your foot wet, one foot in eternity. Our living God is here at present in this sanctuary. His unfailing love, steadfast love, endures forever. And the power of God is in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This mighty healing power of God himself could flow through it into this sick and broken community, world, as we worship Christ Jesus. Amen. We have a mission to do. And the law of love has to be emulated throughout the community. Not only giving up something, only for Lent, not only giving up thanks, I mean giving thanks to the nature that what God has given us, not only giving thanks to him for his redemptive and saving power given to us, we ought to give deeper, that unfathomable power of love and goodness that are within us. Draw that out. And we are assisted by the mysterious power of that Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is called sustainer and helper. We cannot do all this on our own. This Holy Spirit is at work in the community of prayer and faith to be renewed in Christ. And God is in Christ to pardon and transform sinners and to open up new possibilities for everyone. We have hope. Amen.